So blessed to have this church, and you know, I think that we all recognize, as much as perhaps at any time in the past, how important these relationships are. And it's just this beautiful, it's just this, it's like an oasis, this one day in seven. It's just beautiful, this rhythm where we come together and get to enjoy fellowship with one another and see each other and worship together. And and so we are blessed, we are grateful. It's been a very challenging year. You know, I think no one needs to be told that, going back to March and 2 months where, you know, we were just filming our worship services and then, you know, mostly outside, bouncing inside. And but God has been really faithful. He's been faithful to this church. He's been faithful to our members. You know, it's really been a wonderful blessing, as far as just the physical health of our members, as far as just the financial well-being of the church. And I really, you know, what to me is always such the thing that I know myself and the elders are concerned about is the spiritual well-being of the flock and the members. And we're really blessed that through all of this, we've seen our members, at least the best that we're able to perceive, persevering well through these hard times. So we're grateful to God for these things. Well, this morning our meeting is shorter than normal. Part of that is the fact that we just, we don't have any refreshments, any lunch, anything like that. So we are here longer after the worship service. But we just felt like that, you know, rather getting into too many details about too many things, there's just a few main things we really wanted to touch on this morning. So we're going to be talking, getting a financial report. It's really one of the main reasons for a meeting such as this. Talk about the business of the church and lay out the finances. So we'll be having a report there. We'll also be getting a deacon report, some things going on with the deacons. Also, Tony will be talking about missions and some things happening there. And then just, you know, just some general comments because there's so much in flux right now. But, you know, as pertains to adult Sunday school and children's ministry, all these things. But just update as best we can. But really just leave plenty of time for any questions that anyone has, so that we can field those questions. Okay, so I am going to pray, and then Guy's going to come up and start with finances. Our Father, we thank you for this church, and thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for all of our members and the love that is among us and the unity that is among us. And I pray that you would always protect the unity of this church, and that you would strengthen always the cords of love among our members, that we truly would care for and support one another. I pray, Father, that you would continue to bless and provide for this church, and that, Father, you would please continue to sustain us in every way. So we thank you, Father, for this time, and I pray that you would please bless it, allow it to be fruitful. In Christ's name, amen.
So as you can see, we have a couple of the pictures from the architects of the building that's going to be added at the, well, take out the building on the other side of the hallway, and so that's all going to be incorporated into one additional building. If you haven't seen the pictures and you're interested in them, there, many of the renderings are on display on a table back in the fellowship room. So I would urge all of you to make sure you have an opportunity to take a look at those, because they're really pretty. And it's exciting to kind of see this all come together. So as far as the finance committee is concerned and the financial report, I think it's important for us all to remember that, you know, the key to a successful financial health of a church is transparency. And so one of the ways that we make sure that that is always at the forefront is by working with our finance committee. And as you can see them seated around our table there, we don't have a table like that, but you know, we have John Voris, Taffa, Ken Dilakonich, we have Michael Horst. I know you're over here. I don't know if any of the other ones are around or not. And Dan Morgino. I saw Dan around. And so we come together once a month, and our role is to just, you know, make sure that all the budgeting is taken care of, that if there's any expenditures that need to be made, that, you know, we're able to talk those through. And, of course, all of these are, in most cases, brought to us by the elders. So the job of the finance committee is to be able to determine whether we can afford it or not. So anyway, what's the next one, please? So 220 was a good year. If you remember, and many of you do, I'm sure, when we were ending up 2019, we were a little bit on the edge with cash flow. Our numbers had dropped off some, and so we had that special campaign, and a number of the church members came forward and were very generous, and so that got us through to the place in 220 where we started to receive money from the land. So as you can see here, giving for all of 220 is expected to be around $611,000. Obviously, we don't have all of December in yet, but that was just kind of a projection. We have program income, which would be things like, you know, families contributing to a retreat, or, you know, whenever we would bring in money for various events. Of $15,000, the land extension money for the year is at $75,000. We have about $5,000 in alms. And then we did apply to the government for that special loan that came out. So that was $28,000. So our total was about $735,000, which gave us a real nice cushion. Our expenses, which is the next one, fall into some basic categories. You can see the big numbers there, right? The blue is just the, you know, salaries and benefits. The land is the red, and then we have some maintenance expenses, missions, and ministry. Maybe you could bring up the numbers on that. So you can see we're spending about $214,000 for the payments to the bank, the interest and the principal. Administration's $328,000, ministry, so it was about $641,000. So we had a little bit of a surplus, which I think might be the next little slide on there, is there? Well, yeah, so I can't see that, so I have to do here. So you can see we had a surplus of $94,000. And then the source of funds, which would be next. So you can see operations was $94,000. We applied to the government for an SBA loan, not expecting to use it, but we figured since it was available and it was interest-free for a 12-month period, why not get it, put it in the bank in case COVID caused some real problems for us? Because when we applied for that, nobody really knew, you know, what it was going to be like. Were we going to continue to meet on the internet, or how all of that would work out? So again, that's just sitting in reserve. We had the PPP money. We have proceeds from the land. And then we've got in the bank. The bank requires us to keep $100,000. So we've had that money at the bank for the better part of 5 years. So all total, that's about $400,000. You know, pay back the SBA loan and put some money into the building, you know, our reserves will dwindle down rather quickly. Projected for 2021, until the land is sold, from a revenue perspective, we don't expect that to really change even when the land is sold. So we're projecting out $600,000 of giving, program expenses the same. We might get $15,000, maybe $30,000, because we get $15,000 every couple of months from them to extend until they close escrow, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So that might be $30,000 instead of $15,000 alms, and so our total revenue is expected to be what, $635,000? Yeah, $635,000. The next one. So not much we can do from the standpoint of budgeting until we get rid of that big blue thing over there, so which hopefully will happen. So go to the next one. So the income would be 635, expenses 611, and net gain of 23 to operations in 2021 is what we would be projecting at the moment, were that land not to close. And then the projected cash on hand, we think that'll dip down a little bit in order to be able to take care of cash flow expenses. So let's talk about the land here for a minute. In April, they're projecting that they're going to do the, so they're making their second submission this month, and they expect that to come, you know, so that goes to the planning committee. The planning committee looks at it and does whatever they do with it and comes back with some additional changes perhaps. So they're thinking there's probably going to be one more round of changes. And the original plan has not really changed much for the senior living facility, although they have found that it's going to be a lot more expensive than what they had originally thought. So the April 3rd submission will get us to the place where they can take it to the planning or to the city council for approval. When that goes to the city council for approval, which there's no reason if the planning commission's approving it, the city council won't. Then at that point in time, they're ready to close escrow. So we're expecting, originally, I shouldn't say originally, we've been tracking this along the way. I had thought we might close by the end of the first quarter, but it looks like with how long everything has taken to get through the submissions and what have you, they're expecting now that it might be the end of June when it'll close escrow. So that'll be a lump sum. When that takes place, we clear the bank debt. You know, we hopefully will have already, when they know for sure this is approved, I think they want to start construction on the building and get the building built before they start doing the actual assisted living center out there, which will be exciting because then, you know, we'll all hunker down in here. We'll have plastic everywhere. There'll be dust. But anyway, it's kind of interesting to see how they have built that. And because it's going to be a two-story. It'll have an elevator. And there are a lot of very interesting aspects to that building. It's going to be a wonderful addition. And not only that, they're going to help with the outside look of the building. We're going to change the brick to something else, and it's all going to match whatever the look is for the assisted living facility. One of the things that you'll see when you look at those is what the entryway is going to, entrance to the facility, to this whole area is going to look like. They're going to change that. There'll be landscaping, how the parking is going to work. So it's very fun to see how all of this is going to work out. Anyway, we have to get approval on the building. We're going to pay off the bank, do the landscaping on the entrance, and then, you know, one of the things that the finance committee will work with the elder board on is recasting the budget, because we'll have about 18,000. How much, Michael? 600? Is that what it is? Or Dan's got the number on the 18.5. Where's Dan? Dan's back in the back. He's been numbers back there. We're going to make him the committee CPA, I think. Anyway, 18.5, you said? Yeah. So we'll have cash flow free, $18,500, to figure out how to use that within the church to God's glory. So that's where we are. And when Mark finishes his report, if there's anything else, I'm happy to take questions.
Yes, I'm just going to give a quick report on what the deacons have been doing. With those deacons that are here, please stand up. I can introduce you. So we have Bill Bartow is there, Dan Morgino, Norm Matheson, Mike Horst, Chris Guigan. Ken Dillaconch is not able to be here today, but he's also a deacon.
Carlos.
Is Carlos here? He was here earlier. I don't see him now. But so I wanted to share a verse that kind of expresses the spirit by which we're serving as deacons. This is Colossians 3:23 and 24. So whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So that's what we've been doing, and that's what we're privileged to do. So I just wanted to let you know that three of us are going to be finishing up our term on the deacon board this year. That's myself, Bill, and Carlos. And the new deacons will be, or are in the process of being chosen, and will be installed shortly. So I just wanted to give a few of the key things that we did this year as deacons. One of the main things, as you've all seen, is setting up and tearing down for the outdoor services. And we really wanted to thank all those that helped us with that, the ushers and many others. You know, it seems like it was very easy, actually, given all the help we had. So thank you so much for that. And another thing we did in coordination with the elders is reviewed the security of our services and the grounds during the services to make sure everyone's taken care of and everyone's safe. And the other thing we've been able to do is to care for the needs of the congregation. And there's, you know, some of that is just checking in on people, talking to them, you know, giving encouragement where we can. We've helped with several funerals for those that have gone to be with the Lord. We, you know, were able to set up for that and help the families with that. And we were also able to care for financial needs in the congregation. And as Guy mentioned, there's, you know, alms is part of what we do, and this year we distributed approximately $8,000 for various financial needs within the congregation. So I just would like to request that you continue to be generous in giving to alms, as there are needs in the congregation that come up, especially during this time. You know, there's jobs are being affected, and you know, we need to be here to help our brothers and sisters when we can. And, you know, please continue to help us with set up and tear down. I don't know if we'll be in or out or whatever, but we appreciate it. And just another important thing is just to let us know when you have a need, because we can't read minds. So, and it's very good when we're able to help, and we don't want to find out that there was a need that we didn't know about, because that's the worst thing. So thanks again for the opportunity to serve, and look forward to continuing to serve.
I know that wasn't for me. Appreciate you all being here and joining in this. It's always good to be able to gather with the saints and to find out the state of the church. So it's good that you're all here. I'm just obviously going to be talking about some of the missionary things that are going on in the church. And based on what's been going on in the whole world with the COVID thing, you know how difficult it's been for us. You can imagine what it's like on the mission field. So it's been very difficult for them. Let me give you a little brief update on some of these ministries that we support. And frankly, since a portion of your offerings to the church goes to support these missionaries, so you're directly involved in the missionaries overseas, whether you know it or not. So actually, it's a word of encouragement, because we should be. Peter Jones, obviously, with Truth Exchange, we've been supporting him for a long time. He's still doing his good work. He's written several books on paganism, and I really think of Peter Jones as almost being like a modern-day Francis Schaeffer in the issues that he addresses in his ministry and the way it's focused. So it's a worthy ministry to continue to support. We also have Rose Martinez in Thailand. A lot of these people you will have heard about, just to let you know that we're still supporting her as well, with Mercy Ministry, Christian Happy Home. And she's busy all the time with three different orphanages that she started and continues to support and oversees all of them as well, so she's very, very busy. Some of the kids who graduate from orphanage are actually outgrow it, so to speak, because they only take so many kids. They only have so much room, and once they reach a certain age, they're not accountable to the orphanage anymore, and so they are sent out. But in spite of that, she's still been involved in the lives of a lot of these kids because they end up going to college, and she's been able to help with that too, finding funds for them and so forth. So their latest newsletter, she just mentioned the fact and had a whole celebration of one of the girls that graduated with a bachelor's degree from college. So what an incredible blessing that is for her. Brent and Erica Haberchak, they're in Papua New Guinea. Ethnos 360, formerly known as New Tribes Mission. He's been there as a pilot for a number of years now, and he was doing a great job. They actually asked him to get a helicopter license as well. So not only is a private pilot, flies out into the bush to be able to give supplies to the different villages. They also deal with emergency situations with the missionaries that are out there, so they're supporting them in that way as well. So obviously the Haberchaks are very busy with not only with the private plane that he has to fly, but also with a helicopter, and he's also basically overseeing the other pilots and managing that group of other pilots. So they're very busy. And as if they're not busy enough, they've got three kids already, and they're in the process of adopting a fourth now, a little baby from PNG. So they're very blessed about that. Paul and Carolyn Wigg in India, they're still there and ministering and in a lot of different areas and dealing with a lot of humanitarian efforts. As you can imagine, again, with COVID, they were probably the most severely affected just because of the congestion, the number of people that there are in that area and the congested environment. So it's been very difficult for them. They've known of friends and workers that have actually not only been affected by COVID, but some have, in fact, died from it. So they've been reeling because of that, but things are getting better. So that's a good thing. I just want to mention one particular ministry that they started a few years ago, and it's been hugely popular, is they are training some of the local women in sewing so that they can take this skill home and be able to sew clothes and basically help support their families. And just to give you an idea, for $1,000, they can train 12 women in 5 months. And at the end of that 5 months, they pay for half of it. The students pay for half of it. So the ministry will pay for half of a sewing machine, and then the students pay for half of a sewing machine. They go home, they take that with them, so they've got a tangible way of being able to support their families, which I think is that's a great idea. George and Martha Mixon in Kenya. This is a Bible storing training ministry. Storying. When I first heard about that, I thought to myself, now that's kind of a strange missionary effort of just telling Bible stories. But if you think about the area that they're in Kenya, a lot of the people are illiterate. They don't know how to read. They don't have resources to learn. So for a church organization to go in there and to be able to basically teach the people the Bible through telling stories, which is culturally how they've done it for years anyway, it's an incredible blessing for them. And let me just read you a little bit about this, because as I wandered through that, I did research in it, and of course after meeting the Mixons and so forth, I was more encouraged. But this is from their latest email, their newsletter. But listen to the way they describe what they do. We were much encouraged by a week-long visit to a rural village to see one of our classes that graduated about a year ago, still using Bible storying in their ministry and outreach and maintaining a strong grasp of key biblical foundations we had laid as we taught them chronologically through the Bible, through storying in 2019. We also began introducing some new stories to help them lead their churches as they walk more deeply into what it means to live by repentance and faith in the gospel day by day. So these aren't just, you know, Sunday school class stories. These are biblical stories. And the thing I appreciate about it is they approach it like New Tribes does. They've trained their people to take the people from Genesis to Revelation so that they can see the gospel message from the first book of the Bible to the end of the Bible. So I think it's a very worthwhile ministry as well. Last one is J.J. Matandika. Obviously, you've seen him here before and preached to the church. He's been a blessing to support for many years. He's pastor of Mpanela Reformed Church in Malawi. And he's got three other church plants, and he's currently working on raising funds for a fourth church plant. So he obviously is very, very busy all the time trying to support all of those. In addition to that, he's discipling and training up three other pastors to be able to take over some new churches in the future. So he continues to do that as well. He had over 100 pastors at a Reformation conference at his own church. So this poor guy, because he doesn't know how to say no to any ministry opportunity, obviously he's been struggling financially. So Grace Church is assisting in that effort, basically. So what we're doing is reaching out to other churches in the U.S. to basically present his ministry to them to get an interest so that they can participate in that as well and to help finance his ministry so that it's not just on the shoulders of Grace. It wouldn't be good for him or for us to have him totally dependent on us. So we want to spread the blessings to others, so we continue to do that on his behalf. And as I mentioned to you a moment ago, that your offerings to the church actually help to support these things. Other people have also felt, as I read through some of these, if your heart was tugging you about a particular ministry, you also have the opportunity to give to those ministries specifically, if you have a heart to do so. So if God puts it on your heart or whatever, you want to do that, just give the check as you normally would through the box or the online, or mail it in or whatever, and just put a note on there for which ministry you would like to support, and we'll make sure that they get that on your behalf. One last thing is, I was texting with Debbie Laurie here recently about a missionary project that she's helping us with. She mentioned how Matthew 28:19 is very much appreciated by her. Go and make all disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what I wanted to point out in that is just that we're all basically interdependent disciple makers. They're saying go into all the world and teach people and baptize them and disciple them. And what we're doing through this church, through your offerings, is supporting the missionaries in the field. So we're also a part of that process. Even if you don't feel called to go out yourself and go out the uttermost parts of the world, just know that you being here at home and staying by the stuff and sending finances to them to support them in the field, you share in all the blessings that they gain as well through that. So to see transformed lives and people coming to Christ is a real blessing. The church can't operate on its own without your help, and missionaries can't operate without your help either. So thank you so much for participating in that. With that said, God bless you. Thank you very much.
That's for you.
He would like a little more applause. He really enjoys it. More. Yes, he loves applause. You should have heard in our elder meeting how much he begged for an opportunity to talk. Half our meeting was spent trying to corral him. It was... Okay, just a couple things, and then we just want to have some time for questions. You know, seeing other ministries, we were blessed to be able to have started up Adult Sunday School again. We feel as in light of the Supreme Court rulings that we've been counseled by the Pacific Justice Institute and so forth, that we're on solid ground in being able to go ahead and continue to offer these various ministries within the church. Youth group is going on also on Wednesdays. Children's ministry, you see, we still have a kind of a scaled down version of the children's ministry. We will try to be, you know, rolling that back out going forward as well. So hopefully we'll be able to be taking some steps towards normalcy. You know, we also do want to be, you know, continue to be mindful and respectful as far as how we just sort of within the congregation. You guys can see we're kind of like grouping families together and still providing plenty of space and so forth, well within the occupancy limits. But even those, the Supreme Court has said that there is no basis for that in New York, which is serving as precedent for other places. But we will, you know, there's just things in flux, but we're blessed by this recent rulings in the direction that we have, and we'll continue to keep you all updated on all of those things, any changes that take place. But again, you know, we've said it many times, it's just gathering together is such an important part of our Christianity. It's not something that can be replaced by just, you know, listening to a Bible study. Listening to a Bible study is a wonderful supplement. Gathering together is very different. Sermons were meant to be heard in a congregation, in an assembly. Sacraments are meant to be taken when you come together. We sing as a congregation, and this is where the Lord is and where the Spirit is moving, is in the assembly. And so it's something that is critically important, and I hope that even though there are challenges, even though there it's not as easy and perhaps comfortable as we might like it to be, you know, wearing masks, different things, it's critically important. And so for all of our members, it's so important that you all understand this. So with that, I just wanted to open up for questions. If you have questions for any of us, feel free. You know, Guy, other finance committee members are here. Mike and Dan are here. Likewise, if you have any questions about other ministries in the church, you can talk to Clark, ask the question directed to him, or Tony with missions, any of us. So if there are any questions, we would be happy to take them. And if you would rather just ask questions privately, you know, we're always available. You have our phone numbers, you have access to all of us, so you can ask questions anytime. But are there any questions pertaining to anything that we saw today? Rich.
Not that it needs it at all, but in the building plan, what about the restructuring and repaving of the parking lot? Is that a part of anything?
It is. They're redoing the parking lot, and they're taking care of all of that. So that's not something that we have to pay for. And even all of the entryway, all along our wall, down below our courtyard area, they're doing all of that on their dime. So they're doing everything to just create just beauty and kind of symmetry to everything. Yeah.
Tony, is Grace now supporting actively Life Song for Children Day, the one that tax and actively involved in?
Not quite, no.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tony didn't mention it, but he and Peggy really are serving as the real point people for JJ in this work. You know, JJ is someone who he's just got a giant pastor's heart, but all of these other aspects, it's very hard to, the sort of financing that he needs over there and the work that he's doing isn't something that he can raise there, nor does he have the time to do it there. And so it really is, as Tony said, a matter of spreading out the opportunity and to share in the blessing of it. And so he and Peggy are really doing that. They're putting together a lot, like presentation-wise and so forth, to be able to engage other churches so that hopefully we'll just provide more and more breadth for of support for JJ and for the work there in Malawi. Anybody else? Yeah, we're all reaching for our keys. Like, everyone's like, don't ask another question. Don't. You know, it's like the lunch bell at school, you know, and somebody's like, oi. Okay, well, like I said, if you have any other questions, you know, finances, you know, Guy, and then the rest of the committee, you saw them, you can ask them those questions. Anything pertaining to any of the ministries in the church, track us down. But again, thank you all for your time, and may the Lord bless you. Let us close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time that we can be together, and thank you for your wonderful provision for this church. You've been so gracious and so kind and so faithful. We thank you, Lord. Continue to protect this congregation. Protect us from the evil one. Oh, Lord, we know that his sights are set upon your bride, and he is in hot pursuit of us through this wilderness. So please protect this congregation. Guard each and every member from his assaults and attacks. May we stand firm in the faith. May you guide us and lead us in paths of truth and righteousness for your name's sake. Oh, Lord, I pray for you to be honored and you to be glorified in all that goes on here in this church. Please, Father, for your name's sake and for your glory, in Christ's name, amen.